Those who haven't been here, we are looking at the Sefer Shmuel Bet, and we're at the end basically. We're doing these final sections, really are appendices to the whole Sefer. We spent some time looking at Tehillim and Shemot. Now we're back, going back and forth in these appendices. We're looking at the end of Perek Chaf Aleph. Perek Chaf Aleph was all about the 3 years drought and the story of the Givonim, and we talked about Emanuel Levinas' approach to that and the lessons we learned from that. The end, though, is basically another appendix, completely independent of the previous story. Short three sentence paragraph. Vatihi od milchamah l'plishtim et Yisrael. There was another war, the plishtim, with Israel. Vayir David v'vadavimo, and David went down with his men. Vayilchamu l'plishtim, and they fought the plishtim. Vayev David, and David was exhausted. Yep, Janet is yawning to demonstrate exhaustion. I feel the same way. I got my coffee, but he is exhausted. Okay, this is at the end of his life. He's 69 years old. He's not the kid going out to fight Plishtim anymore. I can't do that. Yishbi Benov, and a guy named Yishbi Benov, Asher B'Yilidei HaRafa, who's one of the sons of the Rafa, remember that name. U'mishkal kino shlosh me'ot mishkal nechoshet, and the head of his spear, usually the way they translate kino, was 300 shkalim of bronze, and he had on brand, he was girded with brand new armor, sword, weaponry. This is Yishbi, by Yomer Lahakot David, and he planned to attack David, who was exhausted in this fight. By Yazor lo Abishai ben Tsruya, and so David's nephew, Abishai ben Tsruya, brother of Yoav, helped him. By Yach Plishti, by Miteo, and he attacks this Plishti who's attacking David and kills him, Plishti. As Nishbu'u Anshei David lo, and then David's men adjured him, swore. Made him swear, Lamor saying, "Lo teitzei od itanu milchama. You are not going to go out to war with us anymore." The candle of Israel should not be extinguished. After all those thinking about retirement at this point, you know, it comes to a point where David just can't do it anymore. He's not the fighter he once was. Right? Sounds like a straightforward narrative. David's old now. I mean, he's 69, which is not as old as it once was, but he's still at the point where he's not fighting. People basically force him to retire. They make him do that. We've seen this before during the rebellion of Avshalom. When David's fighting Avshalom, he's there in the Gilad. And this is the way it's described. This is Perek Yud-Chet, a couple of parakim ago. Vayishlach David ta'am, and so David sends his people out to go fight Avshalom, Ashlishit b'yad Yoav. One third of the men under leadership of Yoav, his general and his nephew, but Shishit Biyad Avishai ben Tsruya, a third of them under Avishai, same Avishai as in our story, Achi Yoav, the brother of Yoav, but Shishit Biyad Ittai Hagiti, and a third of them under leadership of Ittai, who's from Gat, is one of the Plishtim who remained with David after David was king in Hebron all these years. So the king says, "Yotzo, I'm going to go out and fight with you as well." And all the people said, "Lo teitzei, you are not coming with us. Nus, you will certainly run away. That's what you should do. Lo yasimu, don't pay attention to us. Yamutu, and even if half of us die in this battle, lo yasimu, don't pay attention to them. Ki ata, because now kamonu asara alafim." Because you're equivalent to 20 to 10,000 of us. You're too important, David. We're not taking a chance. And you should stay back in the city and you'll support us from there. You need to stay back. You're not the David who's going out with the people anymore. And both of the, I mean, that, like all the other appendices, this is part of the segue. We're going into Sefer Melachim. First pasuk of Melachim is exactly that. Source 3, Bamelech David zaken b'yamim, and David was old, getting along in years. They kept covered him with clothes. Lo yichem lo, he couldn't get warm. The whole story with Zavishag, the Shulamit. You can't, right? He's getting old now. That happens. The Gemara on this takes a much more agadic approach. The story of Yishbi ben Nov from the Yilidei HaRafa, the children of Rafa, and he's got this sword and he attacks David, and David's exhausted and he's about to be killed. The Gemara asks in Sanhedrin, "My Yishbi ben Nov." What do you mean his name was Yishbi ben Nov? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Ish Shabbal Iske Nov. This actually was all about what happened back in Nov. Remember Nov? The city of
Yeah,
the
that's
Kohanim.
our call name.
Right, that's where the Mishkan was. That's where David runs away after the story of Machar Chodesh. He
Yeah.
finally real when he, you know, finally realized that Shaul is going to kill him. He runs away to Nov. Amar Lo Kadosh Baruch Hu David. Hashem says to David in this Agada about this Yishbi ben Nov, this story at the end of the Sefer. Ad matai tia yia avon zet mum yada. How long is this sin going to be buried in your hand? The sin of Nov. Al yadcha neharga Nov yarkonim. It's your fault that the entire city of Nov was wiped out. Konim. Al yadcha nitra doge davoi. It's your fault that Doeg was involved in this. He's the one who actually killed the Kohanim. It's your fault that Shaul and his three sons died as a result of what happened in Nob and Shaul's downfall. That wall was connected to what happened and what you did. This Avon that's stuck with you.
This is the Gemara
Is
explaining
Gemara
something.
describing this as in what happens here in our story? This Yishbi ben Nov and David is exhausted, he needs to be saved. This is all Gemara is saying. This is a result of what happened in Nov. It's Avon Tamu B'Yadecha. Sin is stored in your hand. So let's go back. What is the story of Nov?
Well,
David
I know
runs away.
David goes there after he leaves Yonatan, right?
Right.
Tells him that he needs something to eat and he needs a weapon. He asks for Shaul's sword, I mean Goliath's sword, and he
Right.
also asks for something that only a Kohen's supposed to eat.
Right. So what do you guess? So let's look at it inside. So you remember everything. That's great. Okay. So Ben, you know, he's been waiting for 3 days for Yonatan to give him the news. He hasn't eaten anything, so he's hungry. By both David and Nova. So David comes to Nova. This is Shmuel Aleph, the entire book ago. El Achimelech HaKohen. He comes to Achimelech, who's a Kohen Gadol in Mishkan. Yecharat Achimelech, Lekrat David, and Achimelech is terrified when he sees David, by Yomer lo, I mean, he knows something's not right. He tells him, Madua tell about Chav Ish and Itach. Why are you coming here by yourself, right? You're the son-in-law of the king. You're the leader of the Israelite army. You're this great hero. Now you're here looking hungry, scared, and all alone. There's no princely entourage with you. Yomer David l'Achimelech HaKohen. So David tells Achimelech, HaMelech tzivani davar. I am here by the command of the king. And he told me, Ish al yeda mu'uma, that you're on a secret mission. Nobody should know anything. It's davar asher anochi shalachacha, this mission that I'm sending you, asher tzivitich, I command you. And my men are with me, but there I haven't been a place that I know that's hidden away. Okay, David is lying. He's just making up this story. And yeah, he says he's hungry, and so it's actually the lechem apanim. That's in the Mishkan. That's what he gets to eat. That's the only food he's got available at this point. And then he takes it, and yes, he takes Goliath's sword, and then David runs off and he runs to the Plishtim. Basically defects to the Plishtim. Achish wants to hire him. He feigns madness, runs off to Moab. That's when the story of David and Midbar Yehuda really starts. By Shmash And Shaul heard that David and his men that gathered around him have been found. And Shaul was sitting on the hill down underneath the oak tree. That was his court, Barama, the city of Ramah, Chanitobiyado, and he had his spear in his hand. He's always armed. And all of his counselors, his servants are all around him. Shaul tells his people, Hanitzibim Alav, they're around him. Shimuna b'nei Yemini. Listen, you Benjaminites, right? His people are all from his tribe. It's very local. A lot of nepotism there. Gam kulchem yitem ben Yishai sadot u'chramim. You think that that Ben Yishai, that this David is going to give you all estates, fields, and vineyards. You think he's going to make you all leaders of 1,000 or 100? Kikashatem kulchem alai, because you're all conspiring against me. And this is really where Shaul's paranoia comes out. En galot es nai, and no one would tell me. B'karet b'ni in Ben Yishai, when my son Yonatan made an agreement with this Ben Yishai with David. En chalam mikem alai, nobody feels sorry for me. Galot es nai, no one's going to tell me anything. Yakim b'ni di alei larev kemazeh. My son is going with my own servants to ambush me today. Kayomazeh, clear as day. And then Vayan Doeg Adami, Doeg, who was there, saw David at the Mishkan, says, Hun Tzaba Aladeh Shaul, he's one of Shaul's people. Vayomi said, Riti Ben Yishai, Bo Nova. I saw Ben Yishai. I saw David go to Nov. Achimelech Ben Achituv. He went to Achimelech, the Kohen Gadol. So Yom HaMelech Doeg, so the king tells Doeg, Saba Tofa Gabakonim. You need to go now and go attack the Kohanim. So Doeg Adami, Vayifgab Huba Kohanim. So Doeg goes, he attacks Kohanim. Vayoma Vayomahu Shmonim V'chamisha Ish. 85, and he kills 85 the Kohanim, Nosei Ephod Bad, who were wearing a linen ephod. Translate, that's equivalent to wearing a tie. They were leaders. Vayimolei Ben Achad L'Achimelech. One of Achimelech's sons escapes. Ushma Avyatar. Out of the entire Kohanim who are at the Mishkan, one escapes. David, he goes to David, who's hiding in Midbar Yehuda. They get Avitar David, ki harag Shaul Kohanei Hashem, and Avitar tells David that Shaul had all the Kohanim killed. Remember David Leviatar. And David tells Avitar, yadati bayamu. I knew back then, ki sham doeg hadami. I knew Doeg was there. Ki haged yagil Shaul. I realized he would probably tell Shaul. And achisavti b'chol nefesh beit avicha, and I caused the loss of the life of your family. David acknowledges that. Right? David's action has endangered, in fact, caused the death of Nov, pushes Shaul over the edge into his paranoia. This is not a good thing. So the Gemara says, okay, God said, how long are you going to, how long are you not going to deal with the consequences of no? And then God gives David a choice. This is still the Gemara, Torah 6. Ritzoncha, whatever you want. Yuchlu zarecha. Do you want to wipe out your descendants? O timsar biyariyev, or do you want to die at the hands of the enemy? Right? David already is old. He has descendants. Amar al-Fanav, so David says, Ribono shel olam, mutev emsar biyariyev. I'd rather be lost in the hands of my enemies, lo yechle azari, my descendants not be wiped out. Yom achad, then one day, chazia yishbi benov, so this plishti, yishbi benov, sees David, Amar, and he says, hainu hai, this is the one, dekatle Goliath achi, this is the one that killed Goliath, my brother. Kafte, he grabs him, kamate, pushes him down, otve, puts him into the ground with Shade Be Tute De Baya, puts the beam from a wine press over him. David is caught. Then he starts praying. And then there's a whole story. I'm not going to say everything, it's a long Gemara, but Ahu Yoma Afnia Damali Shabbata, it was Erev Shabbos. And Hava Avishai ben Tzuri, and Avishai ben Tzuri was getting ready for Shabbos, went to go visit David in Yerushalayim. Until the Beit Shal David, he goes to David's house, Lo Ashachet, he's not, and he can't find him. He realized something's wrong. Okay, David Miel is captured by this Yishbi Benov. Amar, and he says, what do I do? Basically, he starts possibly a very agadic way of looking at it. The Mishnah says, "In Rochlin al Suso, I can't ride on the horse of the king. Ben Yoshel Kisov, in Mashtam Shimba Shabbatel, I can't use the king's things. The fastest horse, the only way I'm going to find him is if I get on his, on David's horse, and the horse will know where to go. Mishas HaKanamai, so can I do it? It's an moment of danger. Something bad's happening. Can I Can I use David's horse? Atashiel be medrasha. So he goes to the base medrash and asks the pasuk of Shiloh. Amrleisle said, "B'shasa kana shapir dami." It's fine. Said pikuach nefesh is dangerous. You can go. So rachvei leprade. So he goes, saddles up David's pered, his donkey, all the king, all the royalty who rode on mules, the kambazel, and he goes off. And then this ellipsis is a whole bunch of interesting, very exotic sounding adventures. Finds Ishbi's mother, who throws a thimble at him, a spindle at him. I'm not sure what to do with that. But eventually, finds David trapped. So Avishai says to David, "What happened? How'd you end up in this situation?" So David tells him, "This is what God told me. That should be a comment there. And this is what I answered. I said, God presented me with a choice: wipe out my descendants or die at the hand of my enemies. And I said, let me die, but don't wipe out my descendants. So Avishai says back, go change your mind. Pray for the opposite. We don't want you to die. Better that your grandson should be a poor wax merchant. I have no idea why that's the epitome of poverty there. But Rochel ani v'im kor shava, v'at lo titzar, but you shouldn't suffer. Let your grandchildren suffer. So Amalesa David said, if hachi siyabat, okay, I don't want to die now. Help me. That's what it means. Lo Avishai ben Shriya. So Avishai helps him. What does he do? Amar Yehuda Amar Rab, Shazro b'tfila. They both pray together, reverse the decree. Amar Avishai v'achate. Avishai says, holy name God. David escapes from the trap and runs away. And the Gemara continues that the point where David's descendants are wiped out is the time of Ataliah. If you remember that story, the daughter of Achav basically tries to wipe out all of them, and only one of David's descendants survive. It's Yoash. One of the
Ataliah protects him.
That's right. He ends up being protected in the Beit HaMikdash and not being wiped out. But the bottom line here, Gemara says this story is not the story of David is exhausted because he's old, but this is midrashically the consequence of his behavior in Nov. So why is that so bad? David does a lot of seemingly bad things in his life. This wasn't the worst of it. He's in danger, right? He's lying. He's putting other people in danger, but he's saving his own life. So I think the issue is not so much Nov, but the issue of Nov is the first time we see a side of David we haven't seen before. He's willing to die. To lie, rather, even to put others at risk. He puts his own self-preservation above other considerations. Nov wasn't bad, but that same David is going to come up in the story of Bathsheba. That's exactly what happened when has Uriah killed. This is kind of the theme that's going through. And that's the story that this is going to end up with David almost losing his kingship, losing the dynasty. That's what's going to destroy David. This David of Nov, not this actual story of Nov, but this David of Nov, that's kind of, hints of it go through the rest of the story. So that's the midrashic way of reading this little free pasuk vignette. So why does Gemara have to read it this way? Why don't you read it as, here's a narrative, perfectly realistic. So we'll have to see that. But the parak continues. It's got four total stories about the bowels of the plishtim, the one we just saw with this Yishbi ben Nov when David gets tired, and then three short ones where David's not involved. This is after the retirement. Source 7 by Yuchachri Chen, Bati Od Milchama Bagov, and it was after this, there was another war in whatever the city of Gov is, that's not no, in Plishtim with the Plishtim, as Hika Savchi Hachushati, and then someone named Savchi the Hushite killed Saf Asher B'yodei HaRafa, someone named Saf. Were the descendants of the Rafa, that's the same Rafa that this Yishbi was a descendant of. End of the story. Next.
Danny, This Ishbi, was the brother of Goliath?
That's what the Gemara says. We haven't seen that yet.
I was thinking that when you told me how much his spear weighed, that he had to be a giant.
Right. We're going to see that. That's, looking ahead, that's what the Rafa here, Yodeha Rafa. That's what it implies. So we got these are all the stories of the Yodeha Rafa and David's men fighting them. At the Odom Lachama Begov, there's another battle in Gov, in Plishim with the Plishim. Vayach Elchanan ben Ya'ari. And then Elchanan ben Ya'ari, Aragim of the weavers, Beit Halachmi from Beit Lachem, he killed at Goliath Giti. He kills Goliath Giti, Eitz Chanito, Kinimnor Aragim, and his spear, Goliath, was at the size of a weaver's loom. And we're going to have to talk, obviously, because this says that Elchanan is the one who killed Goliath Giti, but we kind of already know what happened. That was way back in the beginning of this book that David killed Goliath. So what is this talking about? Story number three. Story number four. Vati od milchama begat. There's another war. Gat by Ish Madon is another plishti, a man of Madon, of measurements, another big guy. They're all big. Etzba'ot yadav, etzba'ot raglav shesh vashesh. And he had six fingers on each hand and on each foot. Esrim ba'arba mispar, totaling 24 digits. V'gam hu yalad l'ra'afa, and he's also one of the descendants of the Rafa. V'yachareb Yisrael, and he insulted, mocked Israel, v'ke Yonatan bin Shim'i, ben Shema, and he was killed by Yonatan ben Shema, achi David. Shema is one of David's brothers. We remember Shema, the brother of David, because Yonadav ben Shim'a. So Janet remembers who that was?
No. Yeah, we just read about him.
Yes, he was again, David's nephew. He's the one who told Amnon to go talk to David. Amnon falls in love with Tamar, his half-sister. The whole story of the rape of Tamar, that was Yonadav ben Shim'a's idea. This is Yonatan, different brother, but I'm not going to make that connection. I don't need to. And then the parak ends with a summary. It's Arbat Ela Yaldur al-Rafa Bagat. These four were born to the Rafa in Gat. These four pleased him. Vayplubia David biabadav, and they all fell by the hands of David and his men.
Yaldur al-Rafa, is that like a ghost, or what's
al-Rafa? That's a good question. We have to figure that out. Clearly, that's something important. These are all Bnei Rafa. And they all fall to David, and we have these weird midrashic stories here. We have this weird thing with someone else killing Goliath. What's going on? And the hard one again is this, the third one about the killing that Elchanan ben Ya'ari killed Goliath HaGiti, right? Because David killed him that one before. So the way to look at it is to look at the parallel text in Divrei Yamim. Divrei Yamim has the same stories. You know, this way we have two different perspectives on the same thing. The first story about David being exhausted and he's forced to retire, that's missing. It's not there at all. And general assumption is, because the whole theme of Divrei Yamim is the glorious history of the Jewish people. This is Ezra writing this to encourage them. They've come back every Shivat Zion. So Ezra writes this genealogy that, you know, you're all descended from somebody. And then the history of Malchut Beit David, and everything's wonderful. There's none of the nasty stories there. There's no Avshalom, there's no Bathsheba in Divrei Yamim. So this is the way Rashi puts it in Divrei Yamim, or really the Perush HaMiyuchas to Rashi. I like the way he put it that way, that Rashi probably didn't write this, his commentary on Divrei Yamim, but it's what it says in the Mikra Gedolah. Masha Mechusar Kam B'Zeh Parsha. Now the fact that missing here in Divrei Yamim, and what Katu B'Shmua, when we have the story in Shmuel about the Od Milchama, etc., about the Ishbi Ben Nov, Bavzeh Mishum Kvodo Shel David. This is in order to give, because we want to keep David's glory intact in Divrei Yamim. It's not written here. Shrekativ Sham Bayef David, that David is exhausted, he gets replaced, he can't fight. Luis Azra Abishai Ben Sri Haino fell, Biado Shel Yishbi, because if he hadn't been helped by Abishai, he would have fallen by the hands of Yishbi. The Piotoganai, because of that insult, Lokat Lokat. It's not written here. So we're going to skip that entirely. So we start with the second story and says, Mahi Achrefen, Batamod Milchama Begezer Imaplishtim. A little bit different. Gezer, instead of Gov, names change in Yavim. Spellings are different. Azika Sachvi Hakushati et Safi Milidei Harifaim. So here, this enemy, this giant, is called Safi Miyeladei Harifaim. Not Harafa, and he was humiliated. And that's important because Rifaim, we know who they are. They come up throughout the Torah. Go all the way back. When Abraham comes to Eretz Canaan, and we have this war with Nimrod, with Amraphel, coming from Babylon, conquering all of the land of Eretz Canaan, Ubar Estreish Shana, Bat Kadol Omer, Bamachim Asherito, and in the 14th year of that story, the Omer comes, Vayakut Rifaim, and he conquers the Rifaim, Vashtarot Karnayim, which is basically the east bank of the Jordan, the Mount Golan Heights. There are Rifaim there. That's Zuzim Bahem, and the Zuzim, another nation, Betayimim, Bishibir Kiyotayim, and the nation of the Amim. And who are these Rifaim? And when Moshe is telling Bnei Israel, you know, you're going to conquer the land of Canaan, but you're not going to conquer the land of Moab and Ammon, because that belongs to them. Because the Moab, where Moab is now, on the east bank of the Jordan, that's the land of the Rifaim. Rifaim yachshavu apem ka'anakim. These Rifaim, the original inhabitants of the land, they were also giants. But Moabim yikru lehem emim, and Moabites called them emim, the fearful ones. Similarly, when you're talking about conquering Og in the Bashan, Og melech Bashan nishar miyeter ha-Rifaim. Og was the last of the Rifaim. At that time, Hine Araso Eris Barzel, Halo Hebra Bar Eimon, and his crib was made out of iron. It was a big tourist attraction in Amman. Tesha Amot Arka, it was 9 Amot long. I believe these are all the race of giants. That's the Rifaim. Okay, and Goliath Klu is one of them, right? Goliath is described as Goliath Shemo, Gavo, Shesh Amot, 6 Amot tall. And similarly in Yeshua, talking about when Yeshua is conquering Eretz Yisrael, and Yeshua went to the battle and he wiped out the Anakim, the giants. Min Ahar, Min Chevro, Min Deri, Min Anab, Min Kol Ahar Yehuda, Min Kol Ahar Yisrael. Anyone living in the land of Israel proper, there were no more Anakim. Him, Arehem, Echari, Ramam, Yeshua destroyed their cities. When Atar Anakim Be'erz B'nai Yisrael, and there were no Anakim, there were no giants left. Rak Ba'aza Be'gat Rashto Nishar. They were left in Aza and Gat. Land of Plishtim still had them. So that's who these Rifaim are. Not Plishtim, but allies with the Plishtim. So these other four Philistine heroes, they were all giants. Gemara says, related to Goliath. They're all descendants from the Rifaim. They're trying to intimidate their enemies. Right there by Yacharafet Yisrael, insulting Israel, just like Goliath did. That's what Goliath said originally. So this is kind of a continuation of the Goliath story. That's from Divrei Yamin. That makes that clear. The next story in the Divrei Yamin solves the problem of Vayach Elkanah Goliath. He said that Elkanah killed Goliath. How can we say that when he killed, when David did that? What does that mean? No, it says the word version in Divrei Yamim says it was a brother. Turns Goliath Agiti into Achi Goliath. Here's the passage from Divrei Yamim. Atiod Milchamel Plishtim. There was another war of the Plishtim. Vayach Elkanah ben Ya'ir. And Elkanah ben Ya'ir killed at Lachmi. Achi Goliath, killed Lachmi, who's the brother of Goliath. Agiti, Eitz Chayito, Kinur Agim, and his spear was like the weaver's loom, right? He was really big. So that the Mitzvot David, the Mitzvot Zion at least, assumes that our text in Shmuel, which let's look back at that, where it says, Vayach Elchanan ben Yari or Gim Beit Halachmi et Goliath Agiti, says that's really talking about the same thing. That this should be here, that Elchanan killed Beit HaLachmi, the house of Lachmi, who was et Goliath in the sense of with Goliath. Goliath is already dead. His brother Lachmi is here. This man says, Mitzvetzion, Bet Lachmi. He attacked the house of Lachmi. This is the Lachmi of Divrei Yamim, the brother of Goliath. And he was at Goliath, not that he killed Goliath, but the one who was with Goliath, im Goliath. Et ito often means with. That's fine. But Salamar, af shaya milchama im Goliath, lo yuchal azar lo, that it was that with the, in the war of Goliath, he didn't, they were, this Lachmi was not involved. Ibrahim Namar Shia Achi Goliath. This was the one who was with Goliath, the brother. That's the third story. The fourth one is almost the same. But he owed Milchama Bagat, the Ish Midah. Shmuel says Midon, this is Midah, Ish Midah, a big man. That's Batov Shesh Vishesh, and he had six fingers and toes. Esrim Arba, 24. Gabuhuna Ladler Harafan, he's also one of the Rifaim, again with an olive. Vayicharaf Yisrael, Vayikir Yonatan, B'Shem Achi David, and he was killed. And summarize, Elon Noldu, Laharafa Bagat, these were the descendants of the Rafaim in Gat, Vayiplu B'Yad David Abadab. So very similar stories, but there are more problems in Shmuel. We don't understand the stories in Shmuel. Divrayim is a lot more straightforward. And going back to this, Vayach Elchanan Goliath, the story of Elchanan killing Goliath, when we know the story with David. How do we explain that in our text? You could say it's a typo, scribal error. If you're an academic, they love emendations and say, was it written down? The original story is what we have in Divrayim, the brother of Goliath, and then somebody messed up when writing it down, lost the word, and we're not going to go that direction. This costs, it's too easy, and you can't learn anything from it. What that Mikra proposes is that this Goliath was a different one, the same name. Okay, presumably this is almost 40 years, this is 40 years later. Goliath was a Philistine hero. He probably had lots of kids named after him. So this was another Goliath, could be. Yochi Brandis, I keep mentioning the Secret Book of Kings. That's the one that basically portrays David as the villain of the story, that Shaul was the hero and David conspires to take him down. And in her novel, the entire David and Goliath battle was a lie. David made the story up for PR purposes, kind of retroactively made his hero there. The real death was stuck in here. Elchanan, somebody else killed Goliath, and it was snuck in here by the pro-Binyaminite scribes in the end. That's her story. We're not going to go that direction either. It's an interesting idea. The other approach to this is a midrashic one. Okay, let's take the story in Shmuel, not literally. That's the Malbim. The truth is, the actual story is what's recorded in Divrei Yamim. Yochanan kills a giant named Lachmi. Achi Goliath, brother of Goliath. Elchanan ben Yari, and this is Elchanan, Elchanan kills him. And yes, this brother was a hero, a strong man, a giant, just like his brother. That his spear was like a weaver's loom. Obviously, a big guy. So his power, the whole story, was very similar to Gibrat David Goliath. It's very similar to the story of David and Goliath. So therefore, Moshluha Moshlim, therefore, they made a mashal. Shmuel is a mashal, shalachmi haragat Goliath, shalachmi haragat Goliath, that Lachmi was killed with Goliath, this karbo gvurat David domelo. To remember David's power was very similar to that. And Divrei Yamim perush ha-mashal, Divrei Yamim is the underlying meaning behind this mashal, that's what really happened. And I said that before, that when you read Divrei Hayamim specifically, that was written to be read as history. It's a selective history. All histories are selective. It's meant to give a past and a future to the nascent Jewish state. after Shuvat Zion. Presumably it was drawn from older chronicles, right? Ezra's going through the text that he has. He said that, you know, what the academics have the documentary hypothesis for the Torah, that's Sukkot Shur Devarayamim. He's putting together pieces from older texts. Ezra's a redactor. We don't have those older texts, but they clearly existed. Here's one that's mentioned specifically Devarayamim, when it talks about the census. Yoav ben Tsruya hechel limnot. Yoav started counting the people of Lo Kala, didn't finish it. Bezot Ketzav Yisrael, and there was all anger against Israel. We read that the beginning of Parak Chaf Aleph. And the number did not end up in the final chronicles of the King David. Clearly, that is something that existed. Divrei Hayamim LaMelech David. That's history. Sefer Shmuel is different. Sefer Nevuah. It's not a history book. It's got messages. So I would say these little stories are meant to be read metaphorically. They're intended to be a midrash. There's a lesson there. These appendices are a poetry. They're not prose. Don't read any of these. If you want the literal story, go look at Devarei Hayamim. These are not meant to be read literally. We see something similar early in the Sefer, Sefer Shmuel. We have a pasuk here. We're talking about Shaul. Ben Shana Shaul b'malko. Shaul was 1 year old when he became king. U'shtei shanim malach l'Yisrael, and he was king for 2 years. You can't take that literally. He wasn't a one-year-old. If you're an academic, you say, well, that's because we're missing a word. We just got to amend it and change it to mean something else. The Gemara says, Rashi brings this out, Ben Shana Sha'ul Malko, Amar Rav Huna, Keben Shana. That's metaphoric. Shalo Tam Tam Fate. He was naive. He was innocent. He was like a one-year-old. Right? The pshat in this is meant, it means that you're supposed to read it as Darash. Rashi says, Emekraze Omer Ela Darshedi. You have to darshan it. Don't take this literally. And so that's why the Gemara reads the story of the killing, the death of Yishbi ben Nov as talking about Yishbi ba'al Eskei Nov. We've got to learn lessons from it. It's a lesson about Dev's behavior in Nov, how that behavior almost destroys him. And I want to look at these four stories in that same light. What does it tell us about David, the whole Sefer Shmuel? One is the story of David of Nov, one who lies and cheats, the Machiavellian conspirator of the story of Uriah. The second story is about death of Safasheb Yilidei HaRafa. As we said before, in Divrei Hayamim, it's Yilidei HaRafaim, which more changed it to Rafa. So the Gemara on this says the change of spelling tells that he's a descendant not so much of the Rafaim, the ancient giants, but from Orpah, Ruth's sister-in-law. These are all the children of Ruth's sister-in-law. Gemara actually says she was his sister. That's not directly relevant. This is Gemara. Ketiv harafa v'ketiv arpa. We read this as rafa, rafa, or we read it arpa. Gemara says the same person. And it says, et arbat ela yaldu l'rafa begat ve'plu b'dad davidu b'yad avadav. Right. These four descendants of Orpah died at the hands of David and his men. Maininu, who are they? Rav Chista, it was Saf, Madon, Goliath, Yishbi ben Nov, the four we just read about. And it says about Ruth, Batishak Orpah l'chamota, Ruth dav kaba. Orpah is the one who kisses Naomi, her mother-in-law, and then leaves. Comes close to joining Bnei Yisrael, but doesn't. Ruth stays with her. We know the story of Ruth. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says, Yavo b'nei hanushuka, the descendants of the kissed one, the one who does the arpa, the kissing, v'yiplu b'yad b'nei adibuka, and they will fall in the hands of the one who stayed. Rosh Rabbah, and then Rabbah continues, b'schar arba d'ma'ot sharida arpa, the fact that arpa cried with four tears, Al-Khamata, for her mother-in-law, Zachtav, Yasu Mena Arbagi Barim, these four heroes came out and said, but Santa Kalan Batib Kenaot, she cried, and that was she had the zechut of having these four giants as her descendants. Midrashic is speaking. And we looked at this in a fair amount of detail way back when we looked at the Battle of David and Goliath, which was 2013. Those are keeping track. Okay, over 10 years ago.
Wow.
And when David runs away, to point it out that the implication of the Gemara is that David and Goliath are cousins of a sort. They're very similar people in a lot of ways. And I said that's what David's faced with when he comes to the, when he goes to the Plishtim, right? When David was a leader of his, what Eliot called his merry men, they call Ishmar Nefesh. He's a bandit king in Hari Yehuda. He is a mercenary for the Plishtim in Ziklag. When he's a king in Hebron or Yehuda, he is loyal to the Plishtim. As far as anyone knows, he's not Israel anymore. David is a Plishti through and through. And we said, he's wielding Goliath's sword the whole time. To quote that piece from Nov, that Janet, you mentioned that. Remember to be Achimelech. Okay, David's asking Achimelech, I'm starving, I need something. And then he says, "V'enish potachat yadcha chanito kara. Do you have a spear or a sword that I can use? Gigam charvi, gigam keli, lo akachti biadi, because I didn't take any of my stuff. He had devar melech in the chutz, because I'm on this secret mission from the king. We talked about him lying about that. Yomar Kohen, and the Kohen says, this is a Mishkan, we don't keep swords around. But Kerab Goliath Plishti, Asher Kita Be'emek Elah, we've got the sword of Goliath in the closet over here. Kidehi Lota B'Simla, it's wrapped up in that cloak over there, Achrei Eifod, behind, in the closet behind the Eifod. Imatati Kachacha, you want to take it? Kach, but take it. Kein Acheret Lota Bazeh, that's the only weapon I have here. David says, "Ain't come on. There's nothing like it. It's not only I'll take it." They'll come by David by Yivrak by Amahug by Shaul by Vola Achish Melkat. He comes to Melkat, wielding the sword of Goliath. Okay, he has got to make this choice. Is he going to be Goliath? That's the implications of Goliath being Ben Arpah. So I'm gonna add my pushing the interpretation a little bit too far, because the word Saf means the threshold, the brink. Right, the one who killed here, Saf Asher Bidei Harafa, right? He's on the brink of being one of the children of Orpah. That's what this Medrash here is. That's what David's got to kill, got to eliminate that side of him as well. The next story is the story of killing Goliath's brother. And you're saying that's what happened. Say, if Shmuel changes that to the story of killing Goliath himself. And the Medrash on this says, yeah, we know, this was really the story of David. We're retelling it here with a different name. We're calling him Elchanan. And the Rabbah says, Zed David, right? Elchanan, who killed Goliath, that is David. Shechananu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He had the gift of God. God was good to him. God had grace on him. He was Ben Ya'ari, Rashi says, because he was part of it. He was dedicated to the Mikdash, which I quoted Tehillim here, Matzauna B'Sdei Yar. It was in Kiryat Yarim, was where the Aron was all this time. That's the Ben Ya'ari, the one who dedicates the Mikdash, or Gim. It says that Mishpachto, or Gim Paroche LeMikdash, David's family were the weavers of the Paroche. This is all David. David kills, and the word of the Mitzuda, he kills the Ben Lachmi, David who slew Goliath, right? That's the golden boy era of David, the Chananoa Kadosh Baruch Hu. When he was the hero, the girls all swooned about him, right? Hikasha ul ba'alafav David berivotav. Add more of the words there. That's a different part. It's a different aspect of David.
That's the song that drove Shaul crazy.
That was. But from David's point of view, he was the hero. He could do no wrong. That's the third story. The fourth story is the one about the six-fingered man. Now, everybody should know what the six-fingered man is about. Susie knows exactly what we're talking
about.
I
was going to say that when you first mentioned the six-fingered man, so I'm glad we got there.
Okay. So I assume everyone has seen read The Princess Bride.
I've seen it, but I don't know about the six-fingered man.
It's a cult classic. I will quote it all the time. You want to know about left-handed swordsmen? You got to read The Princess Bride. You want to know what the difference between Mot and Mimitat, being dead and being mostly dead. You got to see The Princess Bride. Princess Bride is a Princess Bride is the ultimate midrash on Tanakh.
Really? Okay.
So we're going to quote this, the Princess Bride. This is Inigo Montoya. Without a word, the six-fingered man slashed him through the heart. I love my father. My six-fingered man was going to kill his father. When I was strong enough, I dedicated my life to the study of fencing. So the next time we meet, I will not fail. I will go up to the six-fingered man and say, hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. Clearly, that's connected to our six-fingered man in our story. But it doesn't work. Okay? Because David's father was killed by Moab. We've talked about that. I can't make that connection. There's no plishtim there. But there must be something. Okay? There's got to be some symbol. Six fingers, total 24, some numerology, something. Nobody mentions it. I'm very disappointed. Okay, you got to have an agata there, nothing there. I must be some missing something. I don't know. So I'm going to make stuff up. This six-fingered man is an Ish Madon or an Ish Midan Dibra Yamim, which presumably means a big man, right? This is when Bnei Yisrael come, and where the spies come and Parshat Shalach, and they see the giants in Canaan, and they say, we can't conquer them. That's what they say. Vaisudi Bata Aretz. They align the land. They say, Eretz Asher Avardu Bala Turota, Eretz Ochel Yoshvehi, this land that we've gone and toured, it consumes its own inhabitants. Ba'am Asher Re'inu B'tocha Anshei Mido. All the people there are Anshei Mido. They are, each one is an Ish Midah, a person of measurement. Shem Re'inu Atanifilim B'nei Anak, we saw the giants there, B'nei B'neinu Chavavim, we were like grasshoppers in their eyes. That's what Ish Midah literally means, another giant, Rafaim. But I want a deeper connection, okay? Something that Rabbi Foreman would say, where have we seen this before? Where we see six fingers and a hand? And we don't. There's one place I could find. Comes afterwards. This is the vision of Yechezkel. So I'm making up my own midrash here. You can yell at me or just go back to sleep. Yechezkel is in Babel. It's after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. And he gets a vision of the future Beit HaMikdash. It's going to be rebuilt. But Morot Elohim Eviyana Eretz Israel. In my vision, I was brought to Israel. And I was placed on a tall mountain. And I see a vision of a city just to the south. And I was brought to this city. This is the future Beit Midash. And there was a man there. Looked like he was copper. And a surveyor's cord was in his hand, along with a measuring stick. Muhammad Bashar, and he's standing in the gates to this visionary city. And the man tells me, Ben Adam, O human, look, listen, and pay attention. Everything I'm showing you, because you were brought here so that you could be shown all this. And you're going to tell everything to Bnei, everything we see to Bnei, everything you're seeing, and tell Bnei Israel. And there's a wall around this vision of the Beit HaMikdash. And in the hand of this man was Kana Hamidah Shesh Amot. And he had a measuring stick with six Amot, and a long Amma. And he measured the width of the wall and the height. It was all one measuring stick. So I got an ish there. He's got a midah. He's got shesh in his yad. I'm pushing it here. Okay, as close as I can get. Okay. This is the vision of the angel who's the architect of the next Beit HaMikdash. Okay, so I'm going to say there's a hint here to the story of the ish, and it connects with the sheish in his yad, and connection to the architect of the first Beit HaMikdash. Another hint to another part of David's role. He has this vision of what the Beit HaMikdash is going to look like. He doesn't build it, but a vision of what it would look like in the future. And this Ish Midon in our story here is by Chareb Yisrael. He's specifically insulting Israel. We talked about that in the on the census, that David could not build the Beit HaMikdash. If he had done so, it would have been his, not the people's. And it would have been an eternal rebuke to the people. We quoted the Miftel Miyahu on that idea, that the Beit HaMikdash that David built would have been an insult. It would have been a dangerous thing. The Midrash that says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem tells David, I'm not going to let you build this Beit HaMikdash. Why? Because you build it, it would be built and it would last forever. It would never be destroyed. Amar Lo, so David says back, wait, Hare Yafeh, that sounds like a great idea. I don't want to build a building that's been destroyed. Amar Lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Hashem says back, Goli B'tzof Hui Lefanai. I know full well, Shehem Atidim Lachatel. Bnei Yisrael are going to say, they're not perfect. And I'm going to throw my anger against the Beit HaMikdash, I'll destroy it, and save them. Okay. This Beit HaMikdash, that'll be the symbol. I can wipe that out. I will be angry at the wood and stone, not destroy the people. If you build this Beit HaMikdash, it'll last fine, but the people will be wiped out. And this is what Rav Dessler said, become lamanush, il nivne Beit HaMikdash kazeh, she'enar yachol acharev. If such a Beit HaMikdash had been built, David Beit HaMikdash would have been built. It would have been there, but empty. That would have been a danger. Constant prosecutor against Chas Shalom Chal Yisrael, against Israel. Now this sort of symbol of David's perfection without being part of Bnei Israel, that would just be wrong. So David building the Beit HaMikdash would be a Vayacharef et Yisrael. So where am I going with all of this? I'm putting these pieces together because this is the end of Sefer Shmuel, right? The story of David HaMelech. And there are lots of ways of looking at David. I like the poem from Walt Whitman. Do I contradict myself? Very well, then I contradict myself. I am large, I contain multitudes. David certainly contains multitudes. Lots of ways of looking at this whole story here, right? There's a David, the Beit HaLachmi, who kills Goliath. He's the warrior, the military leader, beloved by the people, expanded Israel into a regional empire, but that's not really the real David. There's a David, the Machiavellian, the one who lies to save his own skin, no matter how many others are hurt. The story of Nov, story about Sheb and Uriah, that's not the real David. There's the David of the bandit king, who preys on others, loyal to the enemy of Israel. We see this aspect of David when he wipes out Moab, wipes out Edom, just terrible acts of cruelty. And we're saying that's not the real David. There's David who's obsessed with building the Beit HaMikdash. We see that over and over again in Shmuel, to the point of ignoring the needs of his own people. We talked about that in the context of the famine. That's not the real David. But I'm saying that's what the Navi says here. At Arbat El Yaldu by Plubiyad David. All these other Davids, they had to fall by the wayside. The real David is the next parent. We go from here straight into Vayedaber David Hashem et Divrei HaShira Hazot, Yomitzila Hashemoto, Miyat Kafko, Evav Kaf Sha'ul. Yomar Hashem Tzaliu Mitzadhi Mufalti Li. The David Tehillim. That's the real David. That's the bottom line. And we'll see that in the next, the parak after that. It starts at Eli Divrei HaDavid Had Achronim. Not too much David's last words, but this is the last word of David that is the Na'im Zimiro Yisrael. So we kind of midrashically have to end, kill all these other Davids to end up with the Na'im Zimiro Yisrael, who's the one we're supposed to remember, the one we think about when we think about David HaMelech. So I'm going to stop here. We're not going to go to Tehillim, back to Tehillim, because we still have more of the narrative to go through, but we will end up looking back more at Tehillim. I'm going to stop here.
Danny, when we first talked about the idea of what we should learn, we talked about the idea of learning David's story through the Tehillim. So did you have any idea that we're going to end up with this?
No, I have no idea where I was ending up. I'm making this up as I go along. You know that, right? I mean,
I know,
actually
it's funny that we just said we want to know more about the poet, you know,
right.
And his life.
I think that's the right way to read through this whole story of David, Shmuel, Tehillim, and Divrei Hayamim. It's really, that's kind of, the Tanakh is telling us that's the real David.
Awesome.
So I will stop here. We should continue on next week, learn more about the Beit HaMikdash. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Glad to come in at least to hear the end of the story.
Well, we're not done. I think I have another 30 lessons left in my plan.
Oh my gosh.